Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was sure.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Good morning, good morning, and glad to be back one more time, praise God, with the Word of God. And we're sitting around the table of the Word of God with some of my good friends today. I want to give a shout out to my mom this morning, and hey, Mom, how are you, sweetheart? I love you. Amen. She listens to this podcast, and so all of us other listeners who listen to us live, we just want to tell you we give God the praise for you today, and I'm just excited about what the Lord is doing, amen, in our lives today as we come to another podcast broadcast. Look, I've got some very excited preachers with me today, and I just want to give God the praise for them allowing me to be hosting them and them coming out to share their hearts and what God has put in their hearts concerning the topic that we've been dealing with, and that is healing for today, or either my other subtopic of that is, can I be healed? Now, I just want to say this, according to Philemon 6, that the communications of our faith would become effectual today. We're going to acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. And I just want to say, we're going to release our faith by confessing that, listen, this is the greatest day of our lives. Why? Because this is a day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice. And we're rejoicing even as I speak, and we're going to be glad in it. How about that? I've got with me today one of the premier pastors of the hour, Pastor Willie Barkley out of Dothan, Alabama. Are you there, Pastor Barkley?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you today.
Amen. God bless you. All right, Dothan, Alabama is alive and well. And then we've got the one and only, you're familiar with this guy. He's been with us on several podcasts, and I just asked him to come back again and be with us, my friend and brother, and Commandant in the gospel with Pastor Barkley, Apostle R.O. Raglan. How are you this morning, sir?
All is well. We thank our Heavenly Father for the opportunity to be here, Dr. Robinson.
Amen. Apostle Raglan is all the way from Memphis, Tennessee. He's live with us this morning. And I'm telling you something. You know what? I'm excited. I am so excited about what God is doing in his word and what he's doing for his people in these last days. Well, you know what? I'm not going to hold back. I want you guys to get on. Let's get ready and let's load this thing up. We've been talking from that particular passage of scripture in Psalms 103. And the psalmist very vividly, you know, excuse me, Apostle, you know, some of the questions have been going around and you know, people have been saying, is healing for today, or was that in the Old, in the New Testament, was that going out with the apostles, or is that still relevant for our hour, is it really necessary? We've got so many doctors, we've got so many methods now we can use, so many drugs, miracle drugs. Is healing for today, is healing spiritually from a biblical standpoint for today? And I've heard people, you know, people say they don't believe in healing, but yet they'll go by appeal. They say they don't believe in healing, but yet they'll go to the doctor to make sure they're well.
Right.
Can somebody help me with that one?
sounds like a contradiction.
Sounds like a contradiction. Okay.
Yeah, they believe in it, but they question the method. They believe in the method of those men and women who study natural the physical anatomy and research, and they say that because of their expertise and their research and their diligence in that area, that it can be treated and even in some cases healed. However, those of us who are in the body of Christ, I'm not talking about non-believers, I'm not talking about the unjust, I'm talking about those of us who believe in the principles and the teaching, the doctrine of the Holy Bible, yes, you can't deny the physical, which is those men and women who study the physical anatomy and research and say that they have some credibility in saying, we suggest this therapy or this method. However, for those of us in the body of Christ, we have the Word of God. And Scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's our Heavenly Father, the Creator.
And I'm glad you said that because, you know, the Word of God is the actually, and I don't want to get off into any deep-rooted stuff concerning how people believe or anything like that, because actually we will have to. But the bottom line is the Word of God is the real focus of who we are in creation. And the Word of God created us. He made us. It was the Word that made us, and not we ourselves. So, and I don't want to get off into anybody's theory, but the bottom line is I'm just going to talk to believers today. I'm not going to talk to the world because I have to go to another channel in terms of dealing with this Word to convey to the world that it is actually the Word of God that made us. So if the Word of God made us, He knows everything about us. And so therefore, you and I, since we are made by the Word, and since we've been created by the Word, surely the Word should know everything about us. I've always told people if the Word can save our spirit and change our spirit and make our spirit become reborn, give us a rebirth in our spirit and our spirit man, then surely He can do something for our physical body. But that, I don't want to get off into that. I just want let's talk to the believers today. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the people who understand exactly what we're talking about and where we're coming from. And I know that most believers are having an issue in this day and time about, is healing really for today? And can I be healed biblically by the Word of God? So we're going to get into that. Now, I've been talking, and I gave a scripture out of the book of Psalms 103. And this is one of the familiar passages of scripture that I gave. Even this is in the Old Testament. This has nothing to do with the new law or the new covenant that we are under. This is what was said in the Old Covenant of the Old Testament concerning this particular subject. And watch what the psalmist says in Psalms 103. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Hallelujah. And the second verse says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." What are benefits? Now watch this. He says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies," watch this, "who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now let me tell you something. I'm an old guy, and just to give you an idea, back in the 80s, how I actually came in contact with Pastor Barker there in Dothan, Alabama, kind of gives people a little bit of picture of how old we are. We were running like gazelles. We were running up and down the streets of that particular city, you and I, Apostle Raglan, and we were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore we met a young man on the street by the name of Willie Barkley. And now who's now a pastor and preaching the Word of God himself. And this word that I'm talking about is what brought us and is brought us, making us alive and well today in this place. So, I'm excited for all you young people. You get an idea of how old we are now. But anyway, you young people on fire for God. The Word of God is all right by itself. Pastor Barkley, sir, can you help me by expressing just a little bit about the distress that you had to deal with concerning your own mother. And, you know, healing comes in many facets. It's not just a physical thing. It's not just an emotional thing. It's three phases, and we're going to talk about that today. As according to 3 John 2, which says, "Beloved, I pray above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Not only does the Lord desire for us to be prosperous in our bodies and in our finances and whatever, and have peace of life. That's one area. He also wants us to have health, and that's another area that most people are lacking in. And then he wants us also to have not just peace and health. He wants us to prosper in his word, in our spirit, according to his biblical principles, as our soul prospers. So three areas that he wants us to prosper in. First, he wants us to have peace in this life. He wants us to have good health. And then he wants us to have a good spiritual outlook on life as a believer. Can you all agree with me on that?
I agree, Brother Robinson.
Amen. Now, you know, Pastor Barkley, when we were there in Alabama, you ran into a situation, and the psalmist said in Psalms 107, the people of God were in their troubles, and he delivered them out of their distress. Now, you, at that particular time, were dealing with a situation concerning your mother. Can you just kind of give us an idea? She was in the trouble and definitely in distress. Can you give us an idea of what happened during that particular time?
Yes, sir. I am excited by this, Dr. Robinson. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 34 and 19, says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." He didn't say some. He said all. So I'm excited about that today. And I'm just grateful today, man, have an opportunity to share with the people on the podcast, amen, about what I experienced. And you're so right, amen.
Yeah.
There are so many areas, amen, of healing. But, you know, when we're affected mentally, we're also affected physically. And when we're affected physically, we're also affected spiritually. And
yeah.
So as a young Christian, as a young believer, amen, I was affected by a situation that my mom had run into. You know, and I had moved away from home and stuff, and, you know, and got a call one day that my mom was getting ready to go to prison for 10 years and 3 months, and I thought that was crazy because my mom didn't get in trouble, you know. She wasn't that kind of, that type of person. But you know what? We got together, you know, and after I got the word, you know, and I just couldn't believe that my mom was getting ready to actually go to prison for 10 years and 3 months. And, at this time, Ella Ragan was with me, you know, and we went down to see the people, you know, and talked to some people, the welfare, matter of fact. My mom was on welfare at that time, and so I went down to talk to them, and they wouldn't give me any information. And I said, "Well, that's my mom." And they said, "Well, you know, we're sorry." And I said, "That's my mom." And they still said, "Well, we're sorry." They wouldn't give me any information. So, yes, it was affecting me mentally, you know. But we left there and went to the judicial system and to the courthouse and talked to the judge and stuff, and he said he was sorry that he had already handed down the sentence, and the sentence could not be changed. And it was 10 years and 3 months in the state penitentiary. It never gave me a reason why, you know. But I left there, you know, and Ella Rag and I having to thank God for him, and we went over to my mother's house. And he wanted to show me and show my sisters and brothers how to deal with business while mother was gone. Taking notes. Now, mother hadn't left yet, but she's incarcerated. And so we went on. So the next day I went to work. And I went in to talk to my supervisor and let him know that my mom was in trouble, was getting ready to go to prison. And he said these words to me. He said, "You know, if you do the crime, you do the time." And I just kind of looked at him and didn't get upset. I said, "You know what, that might be so for some people, but that's my mama." I kind of walked out of his office, walked down, caught the elevator, went downstairs to the basement, took my hat off and started talking to the Almighty God. Let me tell you, God can do anything. You hear me?
Hmm?
There's nothing impossible for him that he can't, you know. And so I began to talk to him, and I told God these words. I said, "God, I cannot handle this. I don't want to even try to bear this. This is too much for me, you know, because I was just a young Christian, just learning about Jesus and who he was, you know, And so I just started telling God I needed him to move. And faith kicked in, Ella Robertson. And I said these words boldly to the Almighty God. I said, God, I need to see you today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. But if you're God, I need to see you today. Somebody need to see him today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, today.
Amen.
Somebody need to see him. Even if today I lift my hands and gave God praise and glory and honor, come back upstairs, started work, the phone rang at 8 o'clock, and my sister said, she was crying, and she says, they put mom on the bus. I said, pray. She said, I've been praying. I said, well, keep praying. Hung up, went back to the machine and kept working. 12 o'clock noon, Ella Robertson, Ella Ragger, my next oldest sister called and said, brother, you're not going to believe it. I said, well, yes, I am. She said, they're bringing mom back home today.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Today.
Yes. Today.
Right then, Ella Ragland. Right then, Ella Robertson. God moved that day. Brought mama back home.
That day.
I'm grateful today.
Hallelujah.
I want to say this.
I gotta say this, Dr. Robert. We went to the prosecutor's office and knelt down on the floor and raised our hand and gave glory to the Father that all would be well and believed that it was going to manifest. Now, I want to bring a little conclusion to those who listen today or any day after this podcast, and I'm not going to call any names. But what we found out was that there had been a forgery on his mother concerning the situation. And this didn't have, it just only came out in the last couple of years. His mother, in fact, did not do the crime. It was a forgery.
Amen. That's right.
And we just found this out problem after the last 36 months. All these years now, from way back in the 80s, all these years, almost 20-something years, somebody forged her name. But because of the word of God, because of this brother believing when he prayed and spoke it, and forgiveness was in his heart for the system and all what he didn't know, patience kicked in a matter of hours. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit moved.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You know, and I want you, I did want you guys to bring that. That was exactly what I was getting ready to say, Apostle Ragland, about that scenario, that you did kneel down in the prosecutor's office, the district attorney's office, and you prayed the prayer of faith right there in front of him. And I want to tell some people today, I don't know who you are today, where you are, and what you're going through, even mentally. I'm not just talking about a physical deal that you're having in your body. I'm also speaking of a physical trauma that you may be facing in life. And it's troubling you so until it's unbearable, as Pastor Barclay said. It's so unbearable to you until it just seems like there is no tomorrow. I want you to know that the same God that delivered his mother, and I'm telling you, that's one of the most greatest testimonies that I've ever heard in my life, that a person was on the actual bus going towards the prison, and God turned the situation around. It reminds me of Peter when he was in jail. And the believers began to pray for him, and all of a sudden, we find the angels of the Lord deliver him. I want to tell you today, that you don't have any troubles any greater than these people did. And that if you can believe God with us, if you can believe and trust that the God we are talking about today can deliver you out of your trouble and your distress, you can receive the same miracle. You can receive the same power of the anointing of God over your life and your situation. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to be troubled with that. And I'm not, you know, some people say, wait, I prayed and it didn't happen for me. Well, it's not a matter of praying. It's a matter of believing. It's all, we can all pray, but I want to just encourage you today. And you know what? I know somebody's out there today. I know you're hearing this podcast. And even I know that some of you are going to listen to it in the archives. And we want to believe with you right now. We don't know what your problem is, your trouble is, but it just seems unbearable. And we want to agree at this very moment that you have received deliverance. In the name of Jesus, we send the word to you, whoever you are, you individual, you person, you man, you woman. You could be a boy or a girl, you're listening, and you're in trouble. We want to say that you are delivered by the power of God. We believe and agree with you today that you have been delivered from your situation and your trouble, and you are healed in your out of your distress. In Jesus' name. I just have to say that, guys, you know what? I've been excited. Apostle and Pastor Barclay, Apostle Ragley, I've been excited about what I'm hearing the Lord say about healing in this body of Christ that we live in. And I'm saying that it is nothing impossible to us who believe. And I'm just excited about what that testimony alone has ignited, and it continues to ignite me to this day, about the possibilities that God has presented to us in the body of Christ concerning deliverance. Psalms 107. How about that, pastors and preachers? Let's look at that. Well, let's go back to Psalms 103. I'm excited. I don't want to run around the word, but let's say in Psalms 103. The Bible says he healeth them of all their diseases. Now, can somebody help me with that? Look, some people think that is some. We talked about that last week on the podcast. He healed them of all. And let's talk about healing today. Apostle, can you give me your definition on what healing is?
Well, there are some in the body of Christ who do a very good expression of stating the difference between healing and health.
Yes.
Healing is, as you shared earlier, when you're in distress, is when there is an abnormality, dysfunction happening in your physical, usually in your physical. You can deal with the mental side of it, but usually in your physical. However, we got to deal with the mental because in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor and heal the brokenhearted. So right there, you see his first, after being minister of the gospel, he said, one of his purposes was to heal the broken heart. That is not physical. That's mental. So we can't leave the mental aspect out of receiving deliverance. But usually what we talk about is the physical side, because we can see that with our natural eyes. However, when we, as in the body of Christ, we have to include those of us who are experiencing mental distress, mental abnormality, because of either the evil spirits oppressing us or the cares of the world coming against us or issues we're dealing with in our personal lives or our household. So we can't forget about the mental. However, usually, as I shared, we talk about the physical aspect of it. So let's just stay with the physical aspect, because usually that's what most of us look at as believers, even those in the world. But when we're dealing with the body of Christ. So healing is being delivered, set free, from physical and mental, but in particular, we're talking about the physical side, abnormality that's happening on the exterior of our physical bodies, our physical anatomy. So to me, that's how I express it in my own words, so to help me convey that to those whom I'm talking to or ministering to. It's a delivering of distress from our mental or physical abnormality internally or externally on our physical bodies.
You know, and I'm so glad you said that, because he said, I've come to heal or to cure or to make whole the brokenhearted. And so many hearts are broken in this day and time that we live in, and so many disappointments of life, and people are so discouraged. And that's Apostle Ragland, I'm glad you brought that up. That is the first aspect of the gospel, Jesus said, in as he presented that particular passage out of Isaiah to the people, he said, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel first and to heal the brokenhearted." Now, you brought it up, Apostle Ragland. Ken, let's talk about the brokenhearted. In what aspect today do you see us as the body of Christ being brokenhearted?
You know, Will Robinson and Elder Barkley, if you separate those two words as we have it listed in the King James Version, you can't get a definition of it, at least from what I look at, which is the Strong's Concordance, which gives us a look into the Greek and the Hebrew aspects, you know, of the Holy Bible. That's what we have. Of course, there are other materials out there, but generally that's what we use. If you separate those two words, brokenhearted, you have to really, really search for a definition of what the Lord, what the Messiah was talking about, Jesus, when he said heal the brokenhearted. So brokenhearted is internal. It's in your mind. And there are many of us, and we know it now because of social media and computer and all those things. When I say social media, as we own now, the podcast, most of us understand that. Because of social media, if soon as something dumb, tweeting and Facebooking, and it's another one they call now, it's been out for a while, but it's not coming readily to my mind. When things happen, it immediately hits the internet, social media. So there are people within with the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, are being affected by incest, that's sexual misconduct in families and households, and so many other things. One in particular, it's slipping. It was a big thing, in, not only in the world but in the body of Christ. Those of us who profess to be Christian, domestic abuse, all those things, and a lot of times the persons who are under that duress or that physical attack. Many times it's the children in the household who are being affected by what they've seen and they experience in their household. So brokenheartedness doesn't necessarily actually have to be the person who is experiencing the physical or mental attack. It's those who are watching it happen and who are helpless to a great degree. So brokenheartedness means there are situations that happen that we experience or see, observe with our natural eyes and ears, and we see these things happen, and it affects us so that it's hard for us to believe that a loving, almighty God would allow these things to happen to us directly or indirectly, that we begin to get depressed to the point where we cannot effectively deal with the cares of life and our everyday business. And so Christ saves, the Messiah saves, Emmanuel saves, Yeshua, however we want to pronounce it. But in the United States of America, in the body of Christ, we just say Jesus saves. That's really his purpose. And you can't see that, Brother Robinson and Brother Barkley, with your eyes. This is why we have to be informed about and study and know about Holy Spirit. Because he deals with that which we can't see with our eyes. And this is why the body of Christ, we must, in this hour that we live in, and we're specifically talking about the body of Christ in the United States of America, we must push the work of Holy Spirit. Because he gets down into those areas where we can't see with our eyes and bring deliverance and bring wholeness and wellness. That therapeutic therapy, I'm talking about the psychologists and the psychoanalysts and the psychiatrists, they can't see that. They only deal with what we tell them. But some things we can't even utter because of the distress mentally that we're under, that we're experiencing. So we need Holy Spirit to get in there and work in those areas to help us get the wholeness that we have the right to as believers, being members.
You know,
of
Apostle.
The family of God.
You know, Apostle Ragland, and that you mentioned that in the scriptures, the Bible plainly shares with us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is in the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Now, I know you were talking about the psychoanalysts and also the psychiatrists and people who do things concerning the mind. But the word of God gets you down into the places where nobody can see. There are many people today, as you and I are talking, that are crying. They are smiling in the face of other people, but they're crying silent tears on the inside, and nobody can see where they really hurt because they are masking with a smile on their face, but yet on the inside they're torn apart. And I just want to tell you, whoever you are today, if you're listening to this podcast, as Apostle Ragland and Pastor Barkley said, you don't have to live in distress. You don't have to live in that trouble. You don't have to stay there. We came to tell you some good gospel news today that you can be delivered. And if you will cry out to the Lord, you will be delivered. Listen to what this psalmist said about that in Psalms 107. He says in Psalms 107, verse 5, "Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them." They're talking about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. Some of you are in the wilderness of life, and you're hungry and you're thirsty, but your soul is fainting within you. Listen to what the Bible says about this. In verse 6, he said, "They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." If you are distressed today, if you will cry out to the Lord, somebody said, "Well, how do I do that?" Look, it's simple. All you've got to do is say, "Look, Lord, be yourself." You don't have to have this more eloquent or holier-than-thou prayer. I don't care what situation you're in or where you are. It does not matter today. And you can come to him just like you are. You cry out to him and say, "Father, I don't know if you really will, but if you are," and he'll show you that he is. For those of you who are having that kind of problem, if you will cry out to him, the Bible says he delivered them out of their distresses when their souls were fainting in them. What is your soul? What you think, what you say, and what you do. Those are the three compartments of who you are. What you think, what you say, or what you feel, and what you do, God is concerned about that. Listen to what he says in verse 7. You guys, I just want to say this. I want you to hear, and I want this person, whoever these people are listening today. Listen to what Psalms 107 says, and he goes on to say, in verse 19 of that particular number of Psalms 107, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word," in verse 20, "and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." You know what? Some of you all are thinking that you're in destruction right now. And you feel like that there is no way you can be delivered. But this team of guys came by to tell you some good gospel news. There is nothing too hard for God. One man, Pastor Barkley, just told you that God reversed a call about his mother going to prison for 10 years and 3 months. God turned that around. On the bus while she was en route, the Lord turned the bus around. I don't know what your situation is today. You might be on the bus of life going to a situation that you feel like that you're not going to be able to turn around in. But we came to tell you today that God will deliver you out of your trouble, and he'll surely give you peace in that distress. Amen. I just wanted to say that, apostles and pastor, I know that there are some people right now that seem like that their situation is hopeless. Well, Pastor Barkley, what would you say to them?
Numbers 23 and 19 says that God is not a man that he should lie. He is a son of man that he should have repent. But if he said it, or if he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. He'll do it. He'll make, and that's one thing I've learned over the years, that God will make good on his word. Amen. And so I'm just grateful for that. Amen. And I would encourage people, amen, just to believe and trust God. Amen. Even when you don't see it, it hadn't happened yet. You've been praying and believing and trusting God. You're discouraged. Just know that it will happen. Change will come. Job said this here. If a man die, Job 14 and 14, he says, if a man die, shall he live again? And he turned around and he answered his own question. He said, in all the days of my appointed time, while I wait for my change to come. I come to encourage somebody this morning, amen, change is coming. Matter of fact, change is happening even right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Need that. Change is happening right now.
Apostle.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You can feel it, right, Apostle?
Yeah. You know, brothers, for those of us who are studious and you know, we want to do like those that Apostle Paul ministered to at Berea, and they scriptures say in Timothy that they went back and they listened to what Apostle Paul and Barnabas and Silas was ministering, but they went back home and they researched, they searched the scriptures for themselves to validate, to make sure that what they were being ministered to by Apostle Paul and their crew and his crew was true. And the only thing they had was the Old Testament scriptures, the Torah and the scriptures we're reading from now, Psalms and the prophets. And so for those of us who are studious and you go back and you look up the word distress, distresses, and you look in and you look in, there's a call figurative. And you say, well, that's, you know, you got theologians, and those of us who studies say, well, that was a figurative term. He didn't really mean, you know, sicknesses and malady. He was just speaking figuratively, okay? Well, that's where the word malady comes from, which is that, and it could mean figuratively speaking. You know, in the word distresses, in the word narrowness, well, that's where we get the word narrow-mindedness from. And that is not physical, that's real. And so there are many in the body of Christ who are narrow-minded. We're not open enough to receive the literal speaking, as Elder Barker was ministering, of the word of the living God, the Creator. And so you have to determine today. The preacher can't do it. The minister can't do it. The zealous or the fervent in spirit believer can't do it. You're in a distressing situation right now, and you have to determine for yourself. This situation, as Ella Barkley said earlier concerning the experience with his mother years ago, you can't handle it. It's above you. It's consuming you. It's overwhelming you. So as a believer, you have the right to say, I don't care. Well, you know, what my mind saying, I don't care what the adversary is saying. I don't care what the world is saying. You know, and even my own flesh is wrestling with this figuratively speaking. I'm in a distressing situation, and I am taking the word of the living God, the inspired word through these men and women in the Holy Bible. I am taking it literally because my situation ain't figuratively. I'm under distress here. I'm in a bad situation. I'm in trouble. And Jesus said, be of good cheer in the Gospel of John. Why? Because I have overcome this world. I've overcome any trouble you experience in the world. I've overcome it, and I'm giving you the authority through the inspired word of these apostles in the Gospel of John chapter 17, and the comfort I'm sending back, Holy Spirit, who's going to bring back to your mind everything I said to you, and he's going to drive you into what? Not figuratively realness, but all truth. And so this is why I keep going back to it, Dr. Robinson and the other Barclay, Holy Spirit. Because when he shows up and starts operating, you can't deny it unless you want to act like a fool or think like a fool.
You know, and with that, as you were sharing, Apostle Raglan, the Lord, you know, as you said, we can't do it for we can't do it for an individual. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We can't do it for each other in that respect. The Lord is the only one that has the rule and charge and the changing of the hearts of men, and that's why he said, "I came to heal the brokenhearted." And as you vividly expressed to us, our heart can be broken in so many facets and so many ways. until we don't even realize the depth of that. But the gospel is designed to heal us in, even in the brokenheartedness of life. And in every area of our life, the gospel has been designed to take care of the situation. And I just want to encourage believers today, as Apostle Ragland and Pastor Barclay have said, that you don't have to be discouraged about God's promises. If he said a thing, he'll do it. And as the prophet Isaiah said, if he spoke it, not only will he make it good, but he'll surely bring it to pass. So you can be encouraged. His promises, as Apostle Paul told us, are yea and amen. They are sure. So if my word doesn't seem to be in comforting and encouraging to you, I want to tell you today that the word of God, the word of Almighty God, is the answer and the solution to the problem that you're dealing with in your heart. And Apostle and Pastor, I can say this, that most people's problems stem from their heart. And that's why they have physical ailments and diseases. Do you agree?
I agree. But let me say this. See, when you look at the Strong Concordance, the word broken, they don't list a definition from the Hebrew or the Greek concerning broken heart. See, it's two words made one, so it's a compound word. That's what we say grammatically. So Wesley say that to be brokenhearted means to be crushed by sorrow, grief, or disappointment to the point that is inconsolable.
Yes.
To be crushed by sorrow, grief, or disappointment to the point of being inconsolable. So sometimes we're in situations or experiences things. They ain't figurative. They real.
Yes.
We're dealing with situations that we are in the present experiencing or have impacted us, affected us negatively in the past to the point where we are inconsolable. No words from another man, woman, a boy, or girl can console us. And so the Son of the living God says, for the Spirit of, in Isaiah 61, and it's picked up in the New Testament, as you shared in Luke 18, in Luke 4, 18, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to what? Preach, share, proclaim the good news of the kingdom of the Father, of the Creator. To what? Heal, make whole those who are brokenhearted. You crushed. You're inconsolable. And so it takes the Holy Spirit to speak to you in your soul. Word of God said in the New Testament, I said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinned, it shall die. So the Father wants you to be close to him in his bosom, not pushed away from him. And when we get inconsolable, that's what we want to do. We want to push our way from that which we can't physically see with our eyes, our natural eyes, or touch with our hands, our feelings, those senses. So we need Holy Spirit to get down off in there to the joints and the marrow in our hearts where it cannot be seen, it cannot be consoled by the words of men, women, boys, and girls in the natural, and be ministered to in the supernatural by the Holy Spirit based upon the Word of God. And we have to be aware of that, knowledgeable of that, believe that, and speak it. And oftentimes, elders, what happened is things happen in our lives, so we have to forgive those who trespassed against us so that we can experience the manifestation of the deliverance of being consoled now through the Word of God by the moving of Holy Spirit.
You know, Apostle, you are so true. And I know that you, people who are listening to this podcast today, look, somebody says, well, they're just really preaching and teaching to us. Look, this is not a game with us. And yes, we are preaching and teaching at the same time, and we don't even care. Why? Because your life is at stake. Your anguish does not take a holiday. Your disappointment is not taking a holiday. Your despair is not taking a holiday. And so we're not going to take a holiday on ministering to you today about your situation. We came to let you know today As the Apostle Raglan and Pastor Willie Barclay have said, we have come to let you know there is nothing difficult that God cannot straighten out in your life that you today cannot be relieved of. And yes, we are coming at you with all guns loaded. Hallelujah. We desire for you to be delivered from your distress, your brokenheartedness, your disappointments. And let me tell you something. You're not the only one. You're not. Let me ask a question. Pastor Barclay, are you exempt from distresses and troubles? And Apostle Raglan, are you and I exempt from distresses and trouble?
No, I'm not. No, we're not.
Okay.
No, sir.
So we have to use, we're not talking to you guys today about something that we haven't used ourselves. We're talking to you about this thing. This word of God works. Look, I've had many troubles. I had many problems. I'm not infallible to the things of this world, but I have found by the grace of God that His word worked in every situation. I tried it. I tested it. You know how you have an automobile? Let me use that for an example. And you like that automobile, but before you buy that automobile, you want to give it a test drive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we normally do. Am I correct?
Yes.
So you give that automobile a test drive. You like it. You know it looks good. It has all the qualities that you desire, but you still want to give it a test drive just to make sure that it's what you really want. And some of you today want to give what we are saying a test drive. Well, we dare you to give it a test drive, because what you're going to find out is not only is it everything that you thought it was, it will be that and more. Can you guys agree with me on that?
I agree with you.
Yes, sir.
I agree with you, Brother Robinson.
With that being said, you know, a lot of people don't feel that. You know, and Apostle Raglan, you shared with this with me a while back. A lot of times we come off as being untouchable as leaders in the body of Christ when it comes to dealing with distress and despair. Can you come in on that?
You know, brothers, years ago when I rededicated my life to the Word of God, it was such illuminating and exciting to me as I was around. We call them sanctified and holiness and, you know, Church of God in Christ and Kojic and all those things. But it was refreshing to me when I was around those who were excited about the Word of God and who preached holiness and righteousness. And we say hellfire and brimstone, but also they also ministered love and the grace and mercy of God. They didn't just preach holiness and righteousness and hellfire and brimstone. They also preached the love of the Almighty God and His grace as well. We focus on hellfire and brimstone, but they also ministered love and the grace of our Heavenly Father as well. However, the point is, what was so exciting and refreshing to me was, here were these brothers ministering, preaching, and teaching the Word of God, who continue to remind the listeners, the believers, the audience, areas in their life they had been delivered from being those who were exploiting women and girls on the streets, and we call it pimping, but they exploited them to use their bodies, and those who were thieves and robbers and killers and murderers, you know, and they would remind their audience, their congregations, the body of Christ, that these are the areas they had been delivered from, set free from. Grace and mercy had brought them out, saved them from death in many occasions, and mistreating and misusing people. We live in a time now where we say, well, that's negative. We don't. That's not positive thinking. That's not speaking in faith. No, what you're doing is you're letting those who are dealing with these distresses of life, the troubles of life, the cares of life, know that we are not above this. We've been brought out from this.
Yes.
As well as we are dealing with health issues and distresses today. Somebody dealing with $1 million mortgage note on the building or the ministry they're in. That's a distress.
Yes.
If the financial drop-off hits you because of these economic times in the United States of America, that's a distress. And you said, well, you shouldn't have got out there. I don't care what all the reasons may be. I still have $1 million note I got to deal with at the end of the day, ma'am or sir. I got to believe the Father for this $1 million. Now, I repent and confess all of that, but in the end, I got $1 million debt here. You just dealing with a $700 rent or mortgage note. That's debt for your house. That ain't talk about my, you know, $3,000 mortgage note as well as my $1 million note I owe. That's a distress. That is not figurative. So as preachers, as men of God, we have to tell people, I'm dealing with this too. And it ain't negative because I tell you what my issue is. It's negative if I tell you I'm speaking that it's already done. If you can't say that, yeah, that is negative. But faith says, I believe, I communicate with the Father, and I speak that it's already done, already taken care of. I've repented, I confessed, I ain't covering what I did wrong to put myself in this situation. Now, if I don't do that, I'm what? I should walk in prosperity. And some of that I ain't got to repent and confess for. I'm ministering the word of God and then expenses that come with ministry. And if that's what man is, that's what it is. I ain't got to confess I did nothing or said nothing wrong or mistreated anybody. It's just the cares of life and then some of it is the enemy that's attacking because he don't want me to shine the light on the darkness that's in the heart, not only of the world, Elder Robinson and Elder Barker, but in the body of Christ. Darkness that's in the body of Christ. And the enemy, the Avalos, Satan, that fallen angel, Lucifer, don't want us to shine the light of in the darkness concerning health and healing. Yes, we are going to be tried too. But I'm speaking that it's already done in my life today.
Amen. You know, I'm listening, and as I hear you, and listen to everybody out there in the audience today. Pastor Barclay and Apostle Roche Raglan, we're not in any way and by any means opposed to the word of faith or the believing of the confessions of teaching faith and preaching faith. But at the end of the day, sometimes we must deal with the reality of a thing. And I can appreciate Dr. Frederick K.C. Price when he asked the question, are we living by faith, foolishness, or presumption? What are we doing? And are we really being truthful when we should be truthful? And are we really being complete when we shouldn't? All those things are ingredients. And as Apostle Raglan shared with us on a broadcast before, sometimes it's steps towards our deliverance. It's not an immediate deliverance. And our faith should be in the word of God for the completeness and wholeness of our deliverance. To those of you who are listening, if that makes gospel sense to you. And I wanted to say that because I started the broadcast and the podcast today by saying this, that the Philemon 6, that the communication of my faith may become effectual. As Apostle Raglan said a few minutes ago, that we communicate this, that the communication of our faith may become effectual. First, but let me acknowledge every good thing that's in my life in Christ Jesus. No, my day may not be rosy, and everything might not have kicked off like I wanted it to. But the bottom line is that I am releasing my faith now. I'm going to trust God that this is the greatest day of my life because this is the day that he has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Even though I may have a $1 million mortgage, and even though I may have a distress of life dealing with some things that I myself have to uncover as a leader, I want to be, first of all, positive in the eyes of the people who listen to me and let them know that I face the same problems that they do. The only thing is that I have put my trust and confidence in the word of God. Does that make any sense, guys?
That's gospel truth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And Apostle Regan and Pastor Barclay, I'm so glad that you brought out the reality of this because, like I've said so many times, we present ourselves as being infallible. We present ourselves as being people who are supermen and superwomen, and yet we are when it comes to the spirituality of dealing with things by faith. We become that. But also at the end of the day, we are, and let me say it this way for the like of a better term, baby, and you can help me with this, we are supernatural people in human bodies, if that make sense. We have a supernatural spirit, a born again spirit in a natural body. Can anybody elaborate on that for me?
that's biblical truth, Dr. Robinson. That is biblical. That is scriptural truth. We are now superhumans. We're in our spirit because we have been born again in our spirit. We are a new creation now. Even Adam had not experienced what we're experiencing. The Holy Spirit was not living on the inside of him. Even though he only know good, he didn't know evil. He didn't know bad because he didn't have knowledge of it, and he had not committed any wrong, any sin. He still did not have Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. That experience had not happened for man yet. He had not reached that span or that space and time for Holy Spirit to operate in him like that. So we have the promise of Holy Spirit now living on the inside of us, according to the prophet Joel. We have the Holy Spirit, the promise, living on the inside of us right now. So we are superhuman on the inside because of Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, I was reminded of what you just said, the testimonies of old, the people who went through things and shared with the people. It was not a bad confession. And, you know, sometimes in the word of faith, we would say, well, that's a bad confession, and we shouldn't bring it out. No, as a matter of fact, the guy who penned three-fourths of the New Testament by the name of Apostle Paul began to testify to the people in the book of Acts. He said, I was on the Damascus Road on my way to destroy the people who said they were believers in Christ Jesus. I had papers that were sent down from the people of the Sanhedrin, and I was out to destroy anybody who would name the name of Jesus. He said, but I met a light. And so he began to testify to us all of his experiences and what the Lord did for him. And some people would, in the word of faith probably would call it a negative confession. But no, he was actually exemplifying to them that the same traumas that he dealt with in life can also be dealt with from other individuals, and they can be delivered. Does that make sense to anybody there?
That makes sense. That again, that's biblical and spiritual truth. How can you deny the man is telling you what he experienced? Now, you can say that ain't real, that's figurative, that don't happen today. But as you shared, here's a brother who we have canonized in the Holy Bible. It, three-fourths of it was written by him. And if you look at it, when you study that, most of the time when he actually say he was proclaiming the good news, the gospel, he actually started off dealing with his testimony and talking about where he was negatively in his life before he came into the light of the gospel of Christ. So telling what the Holy Spirit has done for me and brought me out of from negative thinking or negative actions is not a negative spirit or negative speech. You are helping those who you're ministering to, who you're proclaiming the gospel to, who you're teaching the gospel to, that this is not about me. This is about the Father. This is about Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua. This is about Holy Spirit. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than my intellect and my academic preparation and ability and skill and all that. It's bigger than that. This is about the Creator. And that's what Apostle Paul was doing when he talked about what happened to him on the Damascus Road and how ignorant he was acting in his flesh, because he was ignorant.
Yes.
He didn't have the infallible absolute truth concerning the Creator.
You know, we're getting ready to run out of time here. Where did the time go? Let me tell you something. We're coming down to a minute. But I just want to say today, take a few seconds, guys, and then we're going to close out. Pastor Barker, what would you say to everybody today?
Believe God, trust Him. Sharing a message, amen, just not too long ago, amen. You can't trust what you haven't tried. You know, so I've learned, amen, to trust God's word. Amen. And so I just want to encourage people, amen, to trust his word. Amen. God bless you.
Apostle.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Look, for those of you who've been listening today, you say, well, I'm in trouble right now. And what are you saying? I'm saved and born again. Let's talk about that next week on the broadcast when we come back with you again about this gospel. God bless you, and we look forward to being back with you next week. Come and visit us.